Greetings and welcome to Shnayim Mikra, the wonderful series sponsored by the Orthodox Union, hosted at OU.org. My name is Yitzhak Etshalom, and I have had the pleasure and honor of studying Parashat Bo with you this week. And as is our custom here at Shnayim Mikra, in which each podcast is a shiur on one of the aliyot, we have reached the final aliyah of Parashat Bo, Shvi'i, which is the first 16 verses of chapter 13, Perek Yod Gimel Pasuk Aleph through Tet Zayin, in Sefer Shmot. And this is all legal text, as opposed to the narrative, which was half of the parasha, more than half. But Avar on the Maimel Shalimor, Kadesh Lichol B'chor Peter Kol Rechem Yivnei Yisrael Ba'adam Uva Behema Li Hu. So Hashem says to Moshe, sanctify every Bechor, that which opens up the womb. Anybody in Bnei Israel, whether it's person or animal, belongs to me. And the implication is that this was part of the result of Makat Bechorot, when either because Hashem's presence sanctifies, this is the Kli Yakar's take on this, Hashem's presence sanctifies, and therefore the Mitzrim it killed, it sanctified the Bechorot of Yisrael, or that the Bechorot are owed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because their lives were spared. So Moshe turned to the people, and before giving them the mitzvah of Kiddush Bechorot, he says, remember this day that you left Mitzrayim, Ki b'chozek ya'arotzi Adonai etchem mizeh, v'lo ya'achel chametz. Now notice, at this point, we've dropped the agenda of going out for 3 days and coming back. Now we're leaving, although there's no statement about that switch. And he says, remember this day that Hashem took you out, because Hashem took you out with a strong hand, and do not eat chametz. Do not eat chametz, meaning that you must reenact that experience of the house that you had that night. Hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh ha'aviv. So you are now leaving, it's Chodesh Aviv, meaning you have to make sure that your reenactment that you do every year is B'Chodesh Aviv. And this is one of the sources that we have for the fixed intercalation of the year, such that we have a leap month every few years to make sure that our lunar calendar and solar calendar stay in sync to some extent. So when Hashem brings you to the land, Eretz is Zavat Chalav Udvash, what a beautiful land. Then you will do this worship in this month. In other words, I'm telling you which month it is, and now you'll know you'll do this worship in this month, meaning the worship that involves Lo Yachel Chametz, and the worship that we have referred to above, which is the Korban HaPesach, of course. Shivat yamim tochal matzot, uveyam ashvi chag l'Adonai. And on the seventh day there will also be a chag. Matzot yachel et shivat yamim. Matzot is eaten for 7 days. V'lo yelacha chameitz, v'lo yelacha sor b'chol gvulecha. Earlier we had lo yimatzei, and now we have lo yera'eh. The two isurim, of course, the first sugiyot in Masachet Pesachim deal with that. V'igareta levincha b'yom ahu le'mor. And on that day you have to tell your child, and of course there is a great mevucha, a great discussion and somewhat confusion among the Rishonim as to what Ba'avur Zeh means. What is he referring to? Is he referring to the above piece? It's because of Yitzhak Mitzrayim? Is it because of the event that I'm celebrating now in order to have this celebration? Is it Ba'avur Zeh, the Haggadah says, B'sha'ashish matzal mor munachim lefanecha? But Hashem took me out. So in other words, when you tell your child, you also have to have some physical symbol to point to, because that always implies that's why Hashem took me out. V'haya l'cha lo'ot al yadcha. And then, notice, in this passage, Moshe is talking to the fathers, as it were, and saying, tell your son on that day, and you, the fathers, v'haya l'cha lo'ot al yadcha. L'cha lo'ot, meaning you yourself have a sign on your hand, using the exact same language that's used when we're told to put the blood on the doorposts, indicating that this is a sign to commemorate the sign of Yitzhak Mitzrayim and the sign of Makat Bechorot, or of the salvation from Seim. And it should be a commemoration between your eyes. We know this, of course, refers to tefillin, although take a look at the Rashbam's comments here. In other words, you wear these symbols in order that the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth. Of course, halachically, it's darshan to tell us what kind of leather to use. But the simple pshat is, in order that the law of Hashem should be in your mouth, because Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim, v'shamartata chukah zot lemoadah miyamim yamimah, the famous machloket, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, whether a chukah zot is chukat ha-pesach or chukat ha-tfilin. And does that mean that tfilin is only yamim and not leilot? Or is that derabbanan? Okay. That's the first parsha. The second parsha, and this is two, of course, of the four parshiot that are in tfilin. Vayakiv yachad unayel eretz ha-knani kasher nishba lecha v'lavotecha untanalach. So when Hashem brings you to the land, and now Moshe finally tells us what Hashem told him back in Pasuk Bet. Vavarta chol peter rechem ladunai. Everything that opens the womb gets taken to God. Chol peter sheger be'mai sher yelecha zcharim ladunai. And all of the male firstborns of the animals go to Hashem. Vachol peter chamor tiftevesen. A special unique halacha of peter chamor, that the firstborn of a donkey also has some kedusha. Of course, it cannot be brought as an offering, so that must be redeemed with a lamb. V'imlo tiftev arafto. Then what happens if you don't redeem it? Well, you don't save it. You have to kill it. You have to break its neck. So in other words, there's a motivation here to take the lamb, which is called pinyon peter chamor, and bring it instead as an offering. V'chol b'chor adam v'necha tiften. Redeem all of your children. This is pinyon b'chor, which we'll get to in Parsha Sefer Bamidbar. V'ayaki shalchav incha machar lemor. Down the line, your kid's going to ask you, ma zot, what is this? Meaning, what is this kiddush b'chorot? Why are you taking the firstborn and sanctifying them or redeeming them? Bring them as an offering. Here's what you answer. God took us out with a strong hand. That's not the end of the answer. This is still part of the answer. When a paro was stubborn and didn't let us go, God killed all the b'chorot. Therefore, I am offering all of the firstborn and redeeming all of the firstborn of my children. And the hayala otal yarchalu tutafot peninecha is still part of the answer. This is not a separate mitzvah. This is part of the answer, is that you teach your kids. Here it doesn't say l'chala ot, meaning talking to the parents. It's part of the answer. And indeed, you keep it as a sign on your hand and for a crown between your eyes. Because God took us out with a strong arm, meaning, and as Shulchan Aruch says, when you put on tefillin, you have to remember, it's a commemoration of the chozek yad, of the strong hand with which God took us out of Mitzrayim. Okay, that's the text. With that we end, and I highly, highly recommend, if you have the opportunity to look at the Ramban's comments on that last pasuk, beautiful, beautiful, seminal Ramban. However, in addition to that, I just want to take a look at one piece that appears twice in this piece, appeared once in an earlier Aliyah and once later in Sefer Dvarim. And that is the Torah's repetition of the mitzvah to teach your kids about Yitziat Mitzrayim, which leads to the very famous Midrash, which is essentially a Mechilta in our Parsha, on the Pasuk, Vigata Talavincha, it says that there are four children. Keneged Arba'a Banim Dibra Torah. And this is a very, very long piece, and there is one of my podcasts on the Haggadah that covers this. But just the Rashi Prakim, just the highlights, are that basically we start with the following premise, that the Torah does not repeat a mitzvah unnecessarily. And if the Torah repeats a mitzvah, it's because there's some new angle to it. So when we have, for instance, Shabbat, and it's repeated several times, each time is bringing a new facet of Shabbat, whether it's the culpability or the notion of melach machshevet or havar lalav yatzat. Every mention of Shabbat brings some new information to the halachic matrix of what Shabbat is. However, when it comes to, and such is the case also with, for instance, the two parshiot of tzitzis. Parsha of tzitzit that is well known, Vasulam tzitzit and Bamidbar tetvav, but also the pasuk about tzitzit in Dvarim and Parsha Kitetze. They inform about each other, and they help fill in a fuller picture. The question is, with the mitzvah of teaching your kids about Yitziat Mitzrayim, the Torah says it four times, really says it six times, and what is each one adding in? And so Chazal comment on it and say, if you look very, very carefully at the way that the context is presented, at the way the child asks or doesn't ask, and at the answer the father is told to give, and the content of that answer, you could tell that there are different kinds of conversations going on. And the first one that they identify, truth to tell, is the child we first met, and really it's against the background of his interactions that everything else flows. And it belongs to an earlier aliyah, in the fifth aliyah, said, when your child shall say to you, Vayaki omru alechem b'neichem, ma avodah zot lachem. Now we jump down this kid's throat for saying lachem and for saying avodah, the famous Yerushalmi, but the real problem starts with the verb, Vayaki yomru alechem b'neichem. Now, somebody reading that pasuk alone would say, maybe that's how the Torah says ask, until we get to our pasukim, which says, Vayaki yishalcha, and the pasuk in Dvarim Vav Chafalev, Vayaki yishalcha, when your son asks you. So you see that there is a context of asking, and so therefore, back in Perek Yud Bet, when it says, Vayaki yomru aleichem b'neichem, when your sons say to you, you realize that this son is not asking a question, he's really making a statement. And then we look at everything else that he does in a jaundiced fashion. The lachem is exclusive, the avodah is oppressive. And then we look at the answer. What are we told to say? And take a look back, Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Chavav Chavzayin, take a look back and you'll see, it says, Va'amartem. And the other answer says, Vigarta Livincha, Vyamarta Livincha, Vyamarta Elav, speak to him. There it just says, Vamartem, make a declaration. You don't speak to him, you make a declaration past him, which is reflected in the Haggadah's statement of Livololo, that God did it for me and not him. You speak about him in a third person as if he's not there. And what's the declaration? The declaration is, it's a Korban Pesach, when Hashem destroyed the Egyptians and he saved us. And from there everything starts. Then you look at the question, the nature of the question. You realize what kind of child you're dealing with. Is it one who's trying to score points and be confrontational? Is it one who's really interested in sophisticated information like the child in Dvarim? Is it one who can only formulate a simple question, takes a look at you taking the animal to the Kohen and says, Mazot? Or is it a child who you have to initiate the conversation with? And then the answer that you give is going to be in kind. Again, there's much, much more to say about this, but that deserves a shiur by itself. In the meantime, I wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom. It has been an honor and a pleasure to study Parshat Bo with you. I look forward to seeing you again on Shnayim Mikra.